This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I almost forgot to take off my face mask. This is getting ridiculous. I am so happy to be back here in Tantalk Radio studio. It is so wonderful. And Big Ed has done it again. He's disinfected everything, and everything's nice and clean for me, so I really appreciate it. Thank you, Ed. This is going to be a wonderful program. I love being here. I just love being here in the studio, and particularly when I have one of my, I am now calling her one of my go-to authors. That means an author whose books I just enjoy so much, and I know I'm going to enjoy it before I even start. And I know that I really cannot do anything around the house. I can't do any chores. And the most important thing is I forget everything. And boy, oh boy, do we need to forget everything. So I am so happy. I'm really thrilled to welcome back to Joy on Paper today, Hannah Mary McKinnon. One, because I love her name. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Patsy. Wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much. How are you?
Oh, great. Well, it is so good to have you back on. And my goodness, I can't believe it's your fourth book already.
It is. I know. We did this last year, and then we did for the neighbors as well. We chatted. So this is the third time. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I'd have you back simply because I love your accent, and I can talk to you for hours. And then, of course, the new book is called Sister Dear.
It is, yeah. And it publishes today. Today is release day, would you believe?
I know. We're getting some kind of a static. Do you have are you on a...
No, actually, Hannah, can you call us back? We just got a bad connection.
Yes, of course. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, call us right back.
Okay, I will do.
Okay, she's going to call us right back because, oh boy, when I say you really have to forget, laundry, cooking, and don't be boiling. You know, the last time I was talking to her, I forgot to mention that I started to read her book, and I had been boiling, making hard-boiled eggs. Now, this is, they have to put like a disclaimer on the cover of her books saying, do not start making hard-boiled eggs if you are going to read a book by Hannah Mary McKinnon, because you're going to forget them. And do you know what a mess it is when you forget to take the hard-boiled eggs off of the stove? So she owes me a half dozen hard-boiled eggs, I think. It was worth it. And that was for her one of her previous books, The Neighbors. I got involved in that, and I was reading it, forgot completely that I had the stove on, and ruined those eggs. But, when you get a book like this, and this new book is... sometimes, you say to an author, you're getting better and better. And I can actually, honestly say that Hannah Mary McKinnon is getting better and better. Oh, Hannah.
That's so kind. I don't know why we have a bad connection. That's such a shame. But hopefully we can still manage to keep here.
Yeah, I don't know why, but we're going to, why, my goodness, we have to think of people weathered through worse things, and we're going to weather through this because
we have
to talk about this book. We have to. I was just telling my listeners that when I was started reading The Neighbors, I was making hard-boiled eggs, and I forgot about them.
Oh, really?
And
oh, that's hilarious.
What a mess that was. So you owe me a half dozen hard-boiled eggs.
I owe you... Absolutely. We can manage that. That's
we'll,
not a problem.
We'll have to get together there. You're in Ontario, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I when someday when we travel again,
whenever that will be. But yes, absolutely.
Yes. Or we will meet at a book convention because when those open again, we don't know.
Yeah, Who knows? From this year, but maybe next year. Let's see. We'll wait.
Oh, we have to hope. But meanwhile, I'm telling all of my listeners that, you know, we all want to forget for a little while the world around us.
Yes.
And the best way is with this book. Sister Dear is, well, when I say you're getting better and better, it's because the twists, the turns, the things that you think of. You have a diabolical mind, by the way.
So I'm told. I'll take that as a compliment, Patsy. Thank you.
Absolutely. I tell you, I am looking forward to the Audible version of this. This is the kind of book that I love, an Audible version.
Yes, and actually the narrator, Lauren Ezzo, is fantastic. She is absolutely brilliant. I love her. And I was listening to it. I haven't listened to all of it yet. Things got a bit busy, but there was one scene in particular where I actually got really emotional, and I knew what was coming. What was that? But I knew what was coming, and I did. I felt really cut up about it, you know, and that's because of her narration, because she's just brilliant. I love her.
Well, I've already pre-ordered that because I knew. The minute I read the book, I said, this is the kind of book that, like, when I need to calm down at the end of the day, I can listen to it. And even though I know the story, it's like, you know, there are just some authors that you might know sort of where the story is going to go. But even with you are really good. You're getting so good. Let's talk about this story. The premise is fantastic, and you just blew it out of the water.
That's very kind of you, Patsy. Thank you so much. I mean, the idea of the book. Well, let me give you the elevator pitch for those who are tuned in. So it's a story about half-sisters who don't know that the other exists until one of them, Eleanor, finds out that she has a half-sister called Victoria who is and has everything that Eleanor could only ever dream of. And so she decides to infiltrate Victoria's life without telling her they're related. And, of course, mayhem ensues because it's a psychological suspense. So that is the essence of the book. And I'm so pleased that you say that you were surprised by the twist, because that's always the question of people going to say, "Oh, that was utterly predictable." So I'm glad it wasn't for you. I'm glad I managed to surprise you, particularly with the amount you read. That's fantastic.
Wow. You know, I was looking at the some of the. Little reviews, you know, blurbs on Amazon. I don't normally do that. I never do it until after I read a book. But anyway, they have some really wonderful comments, and I one of them that that I really liked was from Kara Ruda, who said, "Sister Dear is fabulous with a bombshell twist you won't see coming." and it's true, and that's what I just love about the book. And at this time, you know, when we're all like sort of going a little bit cuckoo, even me, it's just so wonderful to get out of ourselves and get into your world.
And that's exactly why I write. You know, people have asked me why do you write, and I write to entertain. I write so that hopefully, when people read the book and have finished the book, they put it down and they think, "Oh, that was time well spent." That's my aim. And I know that can't be so for everyone, because not everybody likes what I write, and I don't like every book I read either, so that's perfectly normal. But I hope the majority will get some satisfaction and distraction from the book, particularly in times like these, which have been so difficult for so many.
Yeah, well, you do get distracted from everything with this book. I mean, I thought the entire story, it's funny, the idea of of what Eleanor does, and the idea of that she discovers that the father she thought was the father isn't the father, and all sorts of things that go on after that. I thought, well, you know, this is a interesting premise, and then somebody who can just take it and create such a book that's filled with you know, you've captured the characters so beautifully, and we really don't know what's going on there for a while.
And that's quite deliberate. It's quite funny. And I spend a lot of time with my characters before I even start writing. I think about them a lot. I interview them, as strange as that sounds. I have a 3-page questionnaire, and most of that doesn't make it into the book. You know, things like, do they believe in ghosts, or how much money do they have in their bank account, and stuff like that. So it doesn't make it into the book, but it gives me a sense of, well, a good sense of who they are, and they become very, very real to me. And that's one of the best compliments that one of the compliments I love is for people to say, oh, they felt so real, or they were relatable, or they felt so human and lifelike, and that's just fantastic. So I had a lot of fun writing the story. Because of the twists, I had to be careful not to give stuff away, and that was a challenge in itself and a fun one to try.
Well, we talked a little bit before about how you started writing, and just let's remind our listeners about your first book and how that came about.
Yeah, so my first book was called, or is called, Time After Time, and that's a rom-com. So if listeners are familiar with Groundhog Day, the movie with Bill Murray, and Sliding Doors, the one with Gwyneth Paltrow, both oldies but goodies, the movies, it's the love child of those two movies, Time After Time. And it was a rom-com, and I wrote it very quickly, and I sent it out to agents and got rejected a lot and took some courses and finally got an agent and representation and a book deal. And as Time After Time was out on submission with publishers, I realized that my second book, which became The Neighbors, was a lot darker. And I realized I wanted to write the dark, gritty, twisty stuff. I mean, rom-coms are lovely and they're great, but I was really interested in how ordinary people can be put into fictional, obviously, very different, very difficult circumstances, and see what they do, just ordinary people, you know? And that's why I transitioned over to the dark side with The Neighbors, Her Secret Son, that was last year, and Sister Dear this year. And the next two as well are also dark and twisty. So there are two more in the pipe.
Well, that's good. We're going to need them. I'm going to need them. I hope they're not pandemic books. Oh, please.
No.
I am terrified about what I'm going to get next year. You know, I get like... Maybe I was getting a dozen books. Now I'm getting like 2 dozen books a week.
Wow.
Well, yes, because what's happening is writers have no place to go. The book signings are at an end. The book tours are at an end. Conventions have been canceled. And so suddenly, you know, there's really very few outlets for you, right?
Yes. I mean, everything. So for me, I think middle of March, really, I knew when March, it was March break for the kids, and the government said the kids would be off school for an extra 2 weeks, and I thought, yeah, and the rest. And they're not going back till September. And I thought, everything's going to be cancelled for Sister Dear. I can already see it. Even if things were getting back to normal, today I was supposed to have an in-person book launch, which obviously isn't going to happen. So very, very quickly, I moved everything online. So I have had lots of Zoom sessions and Instagram Live, and I created First Chapter Fun, where I read, now with Hank Philippi Ryan, twice a week we read the first chapter of a different book, not ours, but other authors, to help promote them, every Tuesday and every Thursday at 11:30 Eastern, twice a week. So I've been very, very busy, and everything's moved online, and in a way, it's easier because it's very time efficient. There's no traveling. It's easy access and gives you a broader reach. But I do miss meeting people in person. I mean, that's so much fun, to meet readers and like-minded individuals and book lovers who love to come to author chats and stuff. And that part I really miss.
Because writing is isolating enough. You have so many months where you are with your characters. You're living with your characters.
Yeah.
And it you know, online stuff is okay, but you really do need, I think, that, how can I say? Well, you know, it's really nice when people come up and say, can I have your autograph?
Or, you know. Oh, can you sign my book?
Oh,
yeah,
isn't it? It's wonderful. And
it is.
And
it
that
is.
Feeling of, when I went to BoucherCon in Dallas last fall, it was so wonderful to see. There were so many. The fans get so excited to see the authors that they love. And they put so much into them. And, you know, they look forward to these events. And so I know that it's hard for them, too,
yeah.
that they miss out on this. There's an excitement. It makes you. Well, this is the important thing about when you are an author. If you have name recognition. When people say, well, I am reading Mary Higgins Clark, you know that they're telling other people they're reading Mary Higgins Clark, and that name sticks. And that's why I said that Hannah Mary McKinnon is a name that's going to stick. Just like, no, really, just like Mary Higgins Clark. People,
wow.
Once they read your books and they enjoy them as much as I do, when people say Hannah Mary McKinnon, which is a lovely name, by the way, you know, they're going to remember you, and they're going to you're going to get this following that you need as an author.
Yes, well, gosh, I hope you're right, because honestly, I can't imagine doing anything else now. You know, we talked about my previous career on one of the earlier shows, how I left the corporate world behind and now write books, and it's just such a brilliant environment, and authors are so supportive of one another, and readers, reviewers, people such as yourself. It's just such a lovely, lovely community to be in. It's not cutthroat. It's not competitive. Just because somebody loves my books doesn't mean they won't love somebody else's. And I can't imagine doing anything else now, you know. So yes, please, a large following, so I can keep writing books for everyone.
Exactly. And you don't have to. In the corporate world, you have to go to offices and buildings with elevators.
Yes.
And you
yes.
don't have to do that anymore. You're at home.
No.
You're safe.
That's right. And I can't. You can't mess with your colleagues the way I can mess with my characters. You know, that's not allowed, and rightly so.
Well, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it's a little bit of fun.
Yes, a little bit.
A little bit. We don't want to get excessive. We're not going to, you know, put rat poison in their coffee.
Good Lord, no.
Like 9 to 5, we're not going to do things like that. But you know, but it is better. I think it's better, and particularly for you, because you do have a diabolical mind. Then you are home with your characters. I think it's great. You know, I am just so thrilled that you are on today, because I needed somebody who gives me some sanity here. So tell me, where you have a website where you want people to.
Yes. So my website is hannahmarymckinnon.com, and Hannah is H-A-N-N-A-H. And people will find all of the links for Sister Dear and my previous books on there too. I'm also on Facebook as Hannah Mary McKinnon. That's my author page. And Instagram is the same. But Twitter would only let me put in Hannah M. McKinnon. Hannah Mary McKinnon was a bit too long. But all of the links are on my website. And if listeners are interested in discovering new books and checking out First Chapter Fun, we're on Instagram as First Chapter Fun, and there's a Facebook group called First Chapter Fun as well. It's the one with the, well, there's only one, but it has a picture with a red background with Hank, Philippi, Ryan, and myself on there. So we're easy to find.
Okay, well, you know, I'm going to say the name again, because I want people, you know, Mary Higgins Clark was on my program many times, and I miss her, and she was just one of the most wonderful guests I ever had. She was so wonderful that one time she's talking to me, and she's saying things that she actually shouldn't be saying on radio, and afterward, she wrote me. She said, "You know, I forgot I was I forgot what I was doing. And would you cut that part out when you you?" And I said, "Yeah, I already did. I realized that you shouldn't be giving your home address and home telephone number."
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, we were on the radio, but so. You know, Mary Higgins Clark is will always be, and I'll tell people you can always find fun and diversion in reading her books. But yeah. Now we have Hannah, Mary McKinnon. It's a name, I think, to be reckoned with and one that should be remembered. And when we need a book to divert our attention from what's going on around us, this is a except if we're making hard-boiled eggs, we really don't need to be reading your book. I never will do that again. Oh, what a mess it was.
Imagine. That's so kind of you, Patsy. Really, thank you so much.
Okay.
Enthusiasm is infectious.
Okay. Well, I look forward to talking to you again soon. As a matter of fact, you know, we had a little bit of a static here. So maybe during the summer, you can come back on and we can talk about all of your books. How about that?
I'd love to.
Well, I'm not going to wait a year.
Perfect. It's a date. We'll sort something out.
Okay, perfect.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, Hannah.
Meet you soon. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Oh, she is so delightful. Oh, she's wonderful. And, you know, this is a little... I got such a kick out of this book because it did exactly that for me. I'm reading the book and I absolutely forgot that when I came out of the book... I would have to face this reality. But it is real. But we're hoping that things are getting better and that all of you out there are wearing your masks out in public. But really, people, don't get all crazy about everything and start fighting with people in stores. You know, that's not what we're about. We really have to calm down a little bit, take a deep breath. Oh, it's hard to take a deep breath through this mask. But try, people. Calm down and be happy. And I feel so sorry for all you kids out there who are I just read that they're looking at their cell phones all day long instead of reading a good book. You have to start reading, because when you are reading, this is why I call this program Joy on Paper. When you are reading a good book, you forget everything. And that's what you want right now. That's what you need. But we're going to take a commercial break. And when I come back, I'm going to be talking to somebody. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to him and telling him how I discovered his book. Okay, we'll be back in a little while.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And I have my next guest, and I have to tell you, it was so funny how I found. Well, he contacted me. He sent a book. But how I discovered this book, I had just come back to the studio, and after, you know, broadcasting from secret location, mostly my kitchen where I was sitting next to my beautiful, beautiful whisper dishwasher. And I came back and there were two big bags of books, and I brought them home and I put them out on a plastic sheet to wipe them all down. So I had maybe, like 40, 50 books there. And I'm wiping them down, and they're all spread out, and they're on the floor on a plastic sheet. And there are books from best-selling authors, the most famous authors in the world, all sorts of fascinating books. But the book that I picked up first, to read first, was this book. And I'm holding it up to the camera for anybody on YouTube, and they can see it right there. And it's called The Coca-Cola Trail: People and Places in the History of Coca-Cola. So I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Larry Jorgensen. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Patsy. Good morning. How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm great. And as I said, it was, you know, when I got all these books, and I just, it was like overwhelming. But the one book that grabbed my eye was this, The Coca-Cola Trail, because, wow, it just looks so good. It was, and I had discovered it so fascinating. And so I'm just happy you're here.
Well, I appreciate that, Patsy. And I guess what's different about it, you know, there's been how many hundred books written about corporate Coca-Cola in Atlanta. But I believe this is the first time anyone has really in depth gone after the bottlers throughout the country who really made it happen. And the book is, in a way, a tribute to these pioneer Coca-Cola bottling families and how they thought, you know, this thing might be worthwhile. Let's try to bottle it. And how it went from there. I've enjoyed it. I've met some great people doing it and have heard their stories. It's been a lot of fun. And it's an easy read. And, you know, you could take it a chapter at a time. Each chapter has a different story to tell.
Exactly. And it is a tour across America. And it's a kind of book that, for so many reasons. One, when once we can start traveling again, some people like to follow as a certain subject across the country and sort of tick it off that they've been here, they've been there. And this is an ideal book because it takes you all over the place and you see something interesting, you learn something interesting. It's a fascinating, fascinating book.
Well, one of the things we did with it, Patsy, is we tried to write only about places where there is still Coca-Cola history to be seen. Now, the plant may now be a museum, it may be a little boutique mall or whatever, but not a Coca-Cola plant that's become an office building. That's no fun. It's places where you can go see and enjoy. And we've targeted those types of places. So you're right. I mean, people can sit down now while they're still not able to be totally free and say, here's a neat little vacation, or here's a place I can go see when I can get back on the road again.
And I believe that many Americans are going to be back on the road here in America, because I don't see for a long time very much international travel. I have no interest in getting on a plane and flying to another country right now.
Agreed 100%.
Or to take a cruise, because right now I think this is really a time to see America. And when you see America, you see Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It's amazing. And it's amazing that the efforts that have been done to preserve Coca-Cola. And I mean, things like we've got two chapters on Coca-Cola signs that these big girls outside that go all the way back to the early 1900s, where communities have raised money, individuals have gotten involved to save these pieces of outdoor art, and that's really what they are, is outdoor art.
Well, I thought each of the chapters is fascinating. I particularly like the one about Cedartown, Georgia, and about Daniel Morris, who started collecting Coca-Cola.
Yeah, he's an interesting individual, and he's a very avid Coca-Cola collector. I had the opportunity to meet him a couple times, and I'm not a collector, but I certainly respect the ones that are, because they have become, I guess you could say, addicted to Coca-Cola. They collect, and Daniel's a good example, and fortunately, his family supported him, and they bought the old Coca-Cola bottling plant that was falling down and made a wonderful Coca-Cola museum out of it. They've got some classic items there to go see, so if you're anywhere near that location in Georgia, that's a must-do. That's a fantastic story of a young man whose hobby sort of got out of control, I guess.
Well, but to have such parents who said, okay, well, what the heck, we'll buy you the building. I think right. I got such a kick out of that. And, of course, anyone, if you are traveling this summer, if you finally get out and about, Georgia is such a wonderful place to go. We spent so many wonderful, wonderful summers up in Clayton. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful state to visit. And definitely put Cedartown, Georgia on your list, because just to see this and to meet Daniel Morris, and I love when people get enthusiastic about something. This is important. Everybody out there, you need, and people now are realizing, if they are in the house and they're stuck in the house, it really helps if you have an interest, if there's something that you're passionate about, something that you can think about. And so that's why I think this book is going to be, it's a winner from my point of view on so many levels.
Well, and that has been a salvation for me during this lockdown time, because I'm doing the sequel to the book, and in fact had hoped to have it out in June, and of course things have been delayed a little bit, but producing that sequel has given me that opportunity to continue and to have something to look forward to each morning when you get up. New people to talk to, new places explore. Coca-Cola is all over the place. It's a fantastic story, and the people who collect Coca-Cola memorabilia are just amazing to talk to. They all have interesting stories, and you're right, there's a lot of it in Georgia. Valdosta, I write about that in the book. I think it's the third or fourth chapter. It's one of the very first places the Coca-Cola was bottled, but I mentioned the History Museum there in Valdosta, the County History Museum. The two gentlemen that are the curators there know a lot about Coca-Cola and will share it with anybody that walks in the door once the museum is open again. So that's a great visit as well.
So how did you start on this? Why did you pick this subject to write about?
Why did I do it? You know, it's interesting. I'm an old news dog, and history and things like that fascinate me. I was going to do a freelance travel feature between two close, geographically close communities. One is Vicksburg, Mississippi, of course, known for Civil War, but also known as the first place the Coca-Cola was bottled. And the next one, which is about 70 miles away, is Monroe, Louisiana, which has tremendous amount of Coca-Cola history, as well as a museum that honors that first bottling of Coca-Cola. So that was to be my mission. I was going to do a travel. Well, I did Vicksburg, I did the research, took photos, etc., went then to Monroe. And after visiting with the people in Monroe, it occurred to me, this is not a feature, this is a book. This is all over the country. And that's really what set me off on the, so to speak, the Coca-Cola trail. It was getting that information and learning how much is there to be shared and to be enjoyed by others. So that's not only resulted in book number one, but book number two, hopefully out by July.
Well, and you will be back as soon as you have it. Because I think for right now, for armchair travelers, this is just a wonderful book. And it's funny, as you're reading, even for me, I'm going through it in the different areas. And then I keep thinking, well, do I know somebody in that area I could go visit? Like, I've got relatives over there. You know, I'm thinking, somebody in Arkansas might see me, and somebody in Texas. I might land up in Monahans, Texas. I know a lot of people in Texas. So it's you can sort of plan your family trips around going to see something about Coca-Cola.
Well, the cover on the book, in fact, is Monahans, Texas. Book number two will have two chapters in Texas, one on Quero and one on Lubbock. Also more Georgia, including a story about an artist who actually had an influence in changing the iconic Coca-Cola logo. And I'm not going to tell you much more about that. Got to get the book, you know. But we found more treasures on the trail, and there's no telling where this will take us, but it certainly is a fun experience to read the book and hopefully go see some of the places when you're in the area.
Exactly. You can come down to Florida. We have in Ocala, and of course up in South Dakota in the Black Hills. Now, what about Michigan? You know, I was so happy that you actually know what a Youper is.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, once they turn us free, I am going to take at least a month, and go up to Upper Peninsula. I love that area. It's just, and again, as a history buff, and you know, you've been there, there's more history in Upper Michigan than probably anywhere close by that I can go to. I love that country.
Well, I'm from Baraga,
that's where the Bishop statue is, Baraga and Lance.
Exactly.
And if you want to get in that direction, I could tell you about a 1969 snowmobile trip that went from Copper Harbor to Green Bay. And in those days, snowmobiling was a bit of a challenge. We also did the trip across the Mackinac Bridge. I think that was in 1970. So, yeah, the Youpers are wonderful people to play with, snowmobile with, and just to get to know his friends.
Yes, and because we're well known for our wit, our charm, and our brilliance.
And your pasties.
And our pasties. I was going to add that. And our pasties, my brother, nobody's he's not sending me anything, we'll get back in that. And it's just so wonderful, you know, to think of the wonderful, wonderful time that children have up north in the Upper Peninsula. I think they still have a great time, because when I was a kid, we just ran wild. We just, the summers were just so wonderful. We didn't have to worry about any of this putting on a mask or anything. We were just wild all summer long, running around with, we left the house in the morning with peanut butter jelly sandwiches and Kool-Aid, and that was our day, reading books, running around, picking wild berries. What a wonderful childhood, and I feel so sorry for the kids today who are going through this.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to get out and enjoy the outdoors, and there's so much of it there. I can recall the dead of winter in Copper, where the snow would be so deep you would actually snowmobile over the top of a closed motel or something. You know, and talk about reading books. I always thought, never done it, but wouldn't it be neat to get locked in for a month in the winter up in Copper Harbor with a bunch of good books? I thought, yes, That would be a wonderful way to spend a good month just snowed in, reading books.
I have been locked in. and you go out to Pelkey, Michigan, which is 20 miles from Berga. And my brother still lives there, and he is one of these nutcases. There's never enough snow for him. So when he had snow on May 10th, he was happy. I mean, he was actually happy. And I said, it's May 10th. You're not supposed to be happy to have snow. But he was so happy to see snow. He loves snow. And
I could certainly relate. My addiction before the Coca-Cola addiction was, in fact, snowmobiling. And we were the same way. When we saw the first flake on the ground, it would be a shame to waste that, to not put a snowmobile on it, you know. So, yeah, you waited for it, and no place could you get more snow or longer snow than in that Keweenaw Peninsula of Upper Michigan. It was wonderful.
Oh, well, it is.
You know, the book doesn't get into Upper Michigan because Coca-Cola was so late getting there as far as, you know, being established. The closest we've come is Lower Michigan. There's a towards the end of the book, I do a chapter called Along the Trail, and there's a section in there on Gaylord, Michigan, and a very interesting soda shop, diner, where the man has also become addicted and has a tremendous collection of Coca-Cola memorabilia, and that's worth a trip. And I need to find something to give me an excuse to do Coca-Cola in Marquette or someplace.
They must have had. They must. You know, I was thinking of one of the joys of my childhood was the counter at Woolworth's where we had Coca-Cola.
Absolutely, and maybe putting Coca-Cola. I'm putting peanuts in your Coca-Cola, right?
Or you could order a cherry Coke or a chocolate
or vanilla Coke.
Yeah, vanilla Coke. Now, we had in my family, as in so many families, we had the Coke people, Coca-Cola people, and the Pepsi people. And
right.
there was always a controversy when we had big family events, you know, like 50 people. We would judge the people by were they going to go over to that Coca-Cola side or were they going to go over to the Pepsi side? But
you know that controversy set Coca-Cola in a wrong direction for a while. I don't know if you remember back when Pepsi had this thing called the Pepsi Challenge, and people would sample two colas. They were unmarked, and one would be Pepsi and one would be Coca-Cola. And what happened is a majority of people, after sampling, were picking Pepsi. And that led Coca-Cola, you may recall the marketing decision to produce
new
Coca-Cola.
Oh, God.
Well, that really was instituted because of that challenge. Well, later they found out that the reason that people picked the Pepsi more often is Pepsi is indeed sweeter. So when you taste either of the two drinks and only sample, the Pepsi is probably more to your liking. But for a long-term enjoyment, a full serving of the beverage, then Coca-Cola wins out because you don't have that overall sweetness that just lingers. But it caused Coca-Cola to reformulate and to try to make it sweeter, and it was a total disaster. And they finally admitted it and took it off the market, but you can blame Pepsi for that.
Well, this is part of the fun of reading your book and sort of thinking about Coca-Cola and its place in our history. And of course, I also lived overseas for many years. And again, it was Coca-Cola and Pepsi, the challenge there of which one the people liked. But it's just, I think you've done a wonderful service here. And I think also you are an inspiration to people that find a subject that you're interested in and run with it. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, just thinking, I'm going to do a book about Coca-Cola, and you came out with an absolutely delightful book that I think is everybody should just, and also I want to tell writers, one of the wonderful things, when you write a book, if you have depth to the book, if you can add a layer of depth, some little piece of information that connects with your reader. There are so many references in here to places and locations that you just might want to use in one of your books. So there are many reasons to read this book, and it's called The Coca-Cola Trail, People and Places in the History of Coca-Cola. And Larry, do you have a website you want people to go to yet?
Right. We have a website simply called thecocacolatrail.com. The book is available through Amazon. For those of you in Florida, at the museum in Daytona, the museum, I think it's of arts and science, there's a whole wing there on Coca-Cola because of the Root family and inventing the bottle. And the book is for sale there. And you'll find it for sale museum we talked about, Daniel's Museum, has got it for sale. A lot of stores that sell memorabilia, you know, country stores, museums, places like that, you'll find the book. You know, some of the RV stores, because RV owners like to travel and see interesting things. So it's amazing where it has taken off, and it's a pleasure to be able to provide it at those places.
Well, I think you've done a wonderful job. The photographs are fascinating. It's the type of book that you read once and then you pick it up again and you look. And as I said, find relatives in these towns and go and visit them, and make it a real fun summer once that we can get out of quarantine and start traveling again. Because I think that Larry Jorgensen, you've done a great job with this book, and I look forward to having you back for the second book. And meanwhile, I hope that you get in the Upper Peninsula and you could pop in and see my brother and his wife. They would love to meet you and find out more about your adventures in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Well, Patsy, I'll tell you what, if you will email me his contact information, by the time we get to the UP, the sequel will be ready, and I'll deliver one to him.
Okay.
Lance and Berriga, that area, sitting there on the bay, that's a beautiful place to visit.
Oh, it is. It's a wonderful... And eat a pasty for me, okay?
Absolutely.
eat a couple of them, actually.
You got it.
Okay. Well,
Patsy, it's been a joy talking with you, and let's stay in touch.
Absolutely. Larry Jorgensen, The Coca-Cola Trail, People and Places in the History of Coca-Cola, a wonderful book. Thank you so much for joining me today on Joy on Paper, Larry. Okay, wow. He is nice, and well, the Upper Peninsula, I'm thinking about it. Again, well, this is what I'm telling all of you. Find any subject. It could be anything. Maybe you're interested in, I don't know, bugs. Or maybe you're interested in, think of it, whatever. Comic books, well, those are too expensive. You can't collect them, but you can find out a lot about the history of them. And also, there's, you know, or... Do a book about your family's recipes and the stories behind them. Or if you if you have a little bit of a diabolical mind, you might consider writing a book like Hannah Mary McKinnon, a real it's a suspense and a little bit scary because you think, do you know anybody like that? And you hope you don't know anybody, but it's a great book and it'll keep your mind busy. Again, I want to thank so much my son who came down from Madison, Wisconsin, where he is working on his PhD, but he's down here now and he came. Thank you, Governor DeSantis, for telling him that when he came down, he had to spend 14 days in the house with his mummy. And I am so, I don't mind. I don't mind at all. I was going to send the governor a note and say, extend that another 14 days. So
did
I
he drive down?
No, he flew because he wanted to be here and surprise me for Mother's Day.
So when he got off the plane, he automatically have to go to quarantine?
Yes. Came straight to mommy. And I'm so happy, so happy. It is absolutely a thrill for me. I haven't had him for this extended period, you know, ever since he went away to university when he was 18. So it's just, it's an absolute delight to have him in the house. And so it's just, that's for me, I just am so grateful. And a special hello to my husband who's listening today. And I'm so thankful that he's out of the hospital and did not get this horrible thing in and out, and we didn't have to worry about this. And thank you especially to all of the doctors and nurses at Morton Plant Hospital. They did a terrific job. They kept him safe and away from the virus, so I really am grateful. And you know, you didn't, the last thing you wanted to do during the middle of this is pop into the hospital and pop out, but I am very grateful to all of them. So thinking about all the healthcare workers, a big round of applause for all of them, because they are really terrific people. And I know, just be grateful to all of them, and be grateful most. And I also have to say hello to George. He is the bagger at Publix, my local Publix. I love this guy. Usually when the store was open at 7, I would go there at 7 o'clock in the morning because I like to get my shopping done early, and he would always put everything in the car for me at 7 o'clock. Now it has to start a little later, but a special thank you to George. And meanwhile, go to my website, radio-joyonpaper.com. I'm putting up more and more interviews. I'm having a lot of time now. I'm trying to get everything up and organized, and I have a wonderful interview I just put up with Bernice Lerner that I had last week. So just check it out. And meanwhile, remember what I always tell everyone. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or if you're lucky, a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room all the time. Thank you, Ed, for everything. And thank you. Oh, everything's so nice and clean in here and disinfected. And I really appreciate it. And say something nice to somebody out there. Bye-bye now. Oh, and Ed saluted me, and I saluted him. Okay, bye, everybody.